Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. In today's show, we're going to talk about demographics. Yeah, we're going to talk about demographics, and I know you've been sitting there on the edge of your couch going, oh my goodness, I'm so glad we get to talk about demographics. It's about time you focused on demographics on this show. What are demographics? Oh, I'm glad you asked. So demographics are just a big word that means information. Yeah, it's information about different types of peoples and different types of behaviors and what these people tend to do as a group. I mean, that when you do all this marketing type research, and to be honest with you, all these social media companies are excellent at data mining information. Yeah, because, you know, they get your permission to spy on you and you let them, and that's just the way it works. They turn all that information into something called demographics. Now, demographics are pieces of information that could be very vital to you. Some demographic information doesn't mean squat. I mean, some of it really just doesn't mean anything. So it's like all information out there in the world. You have to look at that information. You have to determine whether or not that information is relevant to what it is you're seeking information about. So when I came across a Marcus and Millchap webcast that was done last September, it's got a little bit of time since it was released. But I think all this information is still relative. And I think this information does a pretty good job of describing data that is key. And I'll take it one step further. That is necessary for the future of the multifamily apartment industry. Yeah, I think this is great information. So you're probably wondering, all right, what is it this guy was talking about? All right, so a guy by the name of Ken Grombach, hopefully I didn't butcher his last name, he put all this data together. So this is the guy that went out and did all the heavy lifting to give us information that you and I can use. And what he did was he looked at all of this data that he generated, and he classified it amongst generational groups. Now, the three prominent generational groups that he cast this data across are the groups called the baby boomers. You've heard of them. I'm actually one of those. Yeah, I just made the cut at being a baby boomer. And then you've got these Generation X people. Yeah, my wife's in the Generation X grouping. And then you got these Generation Y people. And to be honest with you, both of my kids are in that Generation Y group. So you're probably thinking, all right, so we know you're old, Al, and that's why you're a baby boomer. Okay, I'm only 57, but like I said, I did make the cut. But I'm a part of a grouping of people that demographers like to, and that wasn't a bad word, like to focus on and try and figure us out as a group. And then you've got the slightly younger people, where my wife is in that group, and they try and figure out what those people are doing. And then there's that group that my kids are in. The demographers are trying to figure those people out too. So let's break that down. If one group involves people 57 years of age and older, and another group involves people, say, I don't know, let's call it 25 or less, and a third group is that group in between, what do you suppose they're trying to figure out from all this information? Well, I think it's pretty simple, to be honest with you. I mean, think about it. People in the baby boomer group, we've been on the planet longer than those other people have been on the planet. We have seen more. We've experienced more. We didn't always get it right, but we've had more time in the saddle than those other groups. So it's important to understand how we think about things, especially if the demographers are from a different group of people. In other words, if the people trying to figure me out are like 20 years my junior, they don't have the benefit of that extra 20 years in the saddle that I have. So it's important for them to kind of understand my wants, needs, and desires. And not just Al's wants, needs, or desires. It's the wants, needs, and desires of the entire group. See, they're trying to figure us out. Now think about it. If I'm one of the younger people in that baby boomer group, well, everybody else must be older, right? So if everybody's older and this is that particular group that has people that are actually retired, according to what the government says your retirement age should be. Isn't the government telling you that 65 is the new retirement, or maybe 67? That might be the new version of the truth. I think that's true for my age group. I don't think I can get my max Social Security benefits until like 67 or 70 or something like that. Yeah, I mean, but here's the point. If you have a lot of people in this group that are supposed to be retired, you might learn a lot from them. As a matter of fact, you would learn a lot from them if your assumption was they're all supposed to be retired and then the information that you gleaned told you something different. What if that information told you that these people in the baby boomer group, they're not retiring like they're supposed to? Wouldn't that be alarming? I think it'd be very alarming. Because what it would send is a message out to the entire world that says, hey, this retirement system, it's broken. It doesn't work. Look at these old people over here. They're not retired. They were supposed to be retired. Maybe they did something wrong. It's possible. We have to put that burden on them. Maybe they totally did something wrong. But I don't think that's the case. I think what happens in our society is that we have people that work hard. They're dedicated to something that they truly believe in, or at least they have a passion for. And they work hard at these things. And before you know it, they get to a place in life where, well, maybe time has kind of gotten ahead of them and they're looking at retirement through a different lens. Okay, this isn't going to be a doom and gloom show. What I'm going to do is give you this information that Ken Gronach put together about these different classifications of people. Stick around.
Del Wamsley's Real Estate Investing Worst Case Scenario.
Let's say the Democrats took away all tax deductions away from real estate like Ronald Reagan did in 1986. In 1986, we had stock market crash, a real estate value crash. The world came to an end for 3 months. Why? Because he took the value away from owning real estate for people who used it as a tax break. People like myself who got started in 87 go, you know, you can really buy this stuff cheap right now. In fact, I can buy it so cheap, I can rent it and make a 20% return. Cap rates were 20%. I buy a building and I made 20% of my money without leverage. If I put leverage on it, I made 30 or 40% return. Ungodly returns. Right now, you can earn less than 1% on a savings account. So do you think I hope that happens again? Yes, I do. In 2008, when the world crashed and cratered, I bought real estate 50 cents on the dollar. I said, well, what happened to the stuff you already owned? I kept it. It stayed full. We rented it. We made money.
Don't let the fear of losing money hold you back from making money. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. So Ken Gronach, I screwed his name up already in the first segment. Ken Gronach did a fascinating article. It's really more than an article. It's actually a full-blown presentation where he took a look at a lot of demographic information that he applied to different groups of people in our society. And the three groups he focused on are the baby boomers. I'm one of those. The Generation X people and the Generation Y people. So to refresh your memory, because I know you had all this stuff in school. I know somebody pounded this into your brain in school, and then probably throughout the, you know, the conduct of whatever you did for a job, you probably got sprinklings of this information along the way. I know I experienced it in the United States Army, because at one point I was working as part of recruiting command, and you know, one of the things that the Army does with recruiting is they try and figure out their customer. And the customer for recruiters is like, you know, the 17 to 20 something year old male or female that's looking for a particular career that isn't too worried about maybe going into harm's way. That just kind of sums it up for you. All right, so the baby boomers. Here's what I'm getting at. Baby boomers are classified as people that were born between the years of 1945 to 1965. That's a big chunk. That's about, what, 20 some odd years there? All right. So basically from the end of World War II up until a couple days after I was born, literally, everybody in that age group is classified as a baby boomer. Now, the Generation X people, they were born between 65 and 85. So there's another 20-year segment of people. You starting to catch on here? And the Generation Y people are classified as people born between the years of 1985 and 2005. So essentially, what Ken's doing is he's saying that people are broken up into different 20-year blocks. Yeah, that's what he's saying. Here's the results that he obtained from his research. Let's pick on the old folks like me, the baby boomers. Okay. His data, first of all, tells us that the baby boomers, who used to be the largest population of people in the United States, we were this massive population of people moving through life. Yeah, we were the baby boomers. We were the ones that came out as a result of World War II. You know, we had been at war for, what, 5 years? So everybody came home, made babies, right? Okay, I'm not sure that's exactly how it worked, but I will tell you the population surged after World War II. And as a result of that, the baby boomer generation was supposed to be the biggest generation to ever migrate through the American landscape. I remember being taught in school as a baby boomer that none of these other follow-on generations would ever get to a point where they'd have more people than us. And part of that discussion had to do with, you know, maybe we wouldn't reproduce the same rates or whatever. You know where all that stuff's going, right? But here's the crazy thing. No longer is the baby boomer generation the biggest one. So how'd that happen? Did we stop making babies or what? Well, I think the natural aging process occurred. I think that people that are born eventually die. And there's no guarantee that you're going to die after you reach the age the government says you should retire at. 29% of most Americans pass away before they reach the age of 65. Did you know that? That's a very sobering statistic. And I'm not making that up. I got that from all places. The government. Yeah, the Census Bureau publishes this kind of data. And I'll tell you, when I found out that 29%, they don't make it, man, that's difficult. So you spend your entire life focused on trying to get to maybe retirement. Maybe that's one of your major goals in life. And before you even get there, life is done. You never got the prize. You never pass go and collect the $200. It's all gone. And if you did things correctly, hopefully the people that were left behind, they would benefit from all of the hard work that you put into place. But the government has ideas about that sort of stuff too. The government has a tendency to think that, you know, when you're gone, all your hard work really should belong to them, and maybe not to your heirs. Yeah, okay, that's a slap at the inheritance tax. Yeah, let me get away from that. So Ken says this about the baby boomers. Not only are they no longer the largest generation in the United States, he believes that the baby boomers will save cities. Yeah, he says boomers will save the cities by downsizing and moving back to the city, because his statistical information is telling him that they want to be within walking distance of entertainment, sports, cultural hubs. Yeah, that's what he's saying. They want to be closer to where the action is. Now, along those lines, one of the other things he points out is that, yeah, maybe they also want to be closer to their healthcare providers or hospitals, because when you have that emergency situation kick up, the farther you are away from emergency care, well, you know, that may not bode well for you. The quicker you get into emergency care, the better your chances are of making it through. Now, here's another thing he says. Boomers are going to be seeking a more active senior living lifestyle, and they will consume more services in older age, especially healthcare. They're going to consume way more than their parents did. Because here's the thing. Dying, well, it's not on the bucket list. No, dying's not on the bucket list. So their attitude is, you know what? Rip it and grip it, because here we go. I guess it's grip it and rip it. I mean, if you're going to jump out of a plane, that's the way to do it. Okay, so the changes that Ken has been noticing in the city demographic information is supporting the continuing development of new apartment complexes. Those are apartments that we call Class A properties, and the renovation resulting in Class B to B plus properties being redesigned to serve a very active senior community, because those people are considering becoming renters by choice, not by necessity, but renters by choice. Yeah, you heard me correctly. The baby boomers have it in the back of their mind that, hey, if the whole system is rigged against them, they might as well start playing the game associated with how the game benefits their individual lifestyle. And you know what? As a baby boomer, you know, I'm on board with that, because I don't think that getting old means you just need to park yourself in a corner and watch the world go by. No, I don't think that means it at all. I think getting older just means you've got more opportunity to experience all the things that God's green earth has to give to you. All right. So we've talked about the baby boomers and the fact that they may become your residents in the future. But what about all these other generations, these Y and X people? Well, Ken's got some ideas on them. When we come back, I'll share them. Stick around.
You can't be financially free if you're psychologically imprisoned by disabling belief systems.
Are you ready to break free from your disabling belief systems about money, real estate, retirement, and financial freedom? Then join us for Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Learn the belief system that thousands of people like you have used to break free from corporate America and create the lives they have always wanted. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedFreeWorkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. So I got to talk about these Generation X people, mainly because, well, I'm done talking about the baby boomers. I mean, clearly we've had enough, and we've refused to die, because that's what the demographics are saying. The demographics are also supporting the concept that we as older Americans who may have moved away from the cities are planning to move back towards the cities, back towards Class A or Class B type properties, multifamily apartment communities that would provide me a great place to live. And here's the neat thing. I don't have to worry about anything other than making my rent payment and letting the owner of the property or their manager know that something's wrong so that they'll come and fix it. Yeah, I don't have to cut the lawn. I don't have to clean the pool. I don't have to sweep the parking lot. I don't have to do any of that stuff as a renter. So, I mean, to be honest with you, as somebody 57 years of age, that's kind of appealing. Because one of the things I've done is I've moved to an even bigger house on a bigger piece of property, which requires additional services unless I want to do all that work myself. So the concept of maybe renting in old age isn't a bad idea. Because think about it. This property I'm in, I've told you this many times before, and I'll tell it to you again. This is not an investment. This property might go up in value. I may make money on it, say, in 10 or 20 years. Who knows? Maybe in 20 years, I'll double the value of this property. But it's not an investment because it's not paying me any money every month. As a matter of fact, I'm paying money every month to live here. It's a liability is what it is. It's a liability that has the potential to maybe make me some money in the future. But I didn't go into this property looking at it as an investment. I went into this property looking at it as a place to live. And right now, it's a nice place to live. But 10 years from now, when I'm 67 years of age, I might be thinking, you know what? It'd be nice to, like, move away from all of this and be closer to healthcare and be closer to the things that I like doing on a daily basis. I don't know where my life will be in 10 years, but Ken seems to think that's where I'm going. All right, so let's talk about these Generation X folks. These are the people born between like 65 and 85. Okay, it's not a perfect science, but here's what we know. In America, there's like 69.6 million of them. There's a lot of them. But even though there's a lot of them, it's actually a smaller generation without enough people to replace the aging baby boomers, like my generation. So in other words, the baby boomers, we were the big population moving through. And then these Generation X people came along, but they weren't big enough to replace us. And even though we're dying off as baby boomers, they're still not big enough to replace us. Which means that Generation Y group, those younger people, well, maybe they're growing more. It's very possible. Well, that's what the data suggests. But let's talk about these Generation X folks, because I think you need to know something about this group of people. Now, think about it. This group of people is probably, for the most part, in a place in their lives where they're probably making the most money that they've ever made in their lives, and there's a high probability that they will never make any more money than the amount of money that they make now. In other words, if they're making, say, $150,000 a year, that's potentially where they're going to peak out at. Now, they might get, you know, cost of living increases. They might go to $153,000 a year or $157,000 a year. You know, I tend to think these people, they get to that big ticket job they've been shooting for their entire life. They get locked in and they realize that there aren't that many more upward mobility jobs out there for them to take. And they're kind of trapped. Yeah, they're kind of trapped. But baby boomers, according to Ken, they're going to be working until an older age due to, get this, a lack of qualified replacements, because Generation X is just too small to replace all the boomers in leadership. That's right. He says all those baby boomer people that are in leadership positions right now, we kind of have control of the marketplace. And he's also making a warning. He says, us baby boomer guys, well, we got to groom these Generation Y millennials as well as the Generation X people to replace us. But you know what? We're not having it. We're not ready to go yet. Yeah, because Ken pointed out, we're already ready to move back into closer into population centers because we're not ready to go. Although I did mention that 29% of our generation, well, they never make it to that point of retirement. So this becomes an issue because we as the baby boomers have created myths around Generation Ys and Generation Xs and their work ethics. Yeah, we talk about, you've heard the jokes. Some of them are not jokes. Some of them are actually observations that come off as jokes, but the reality is maybe we tend to look at some of these younger generations as not being as aggressive as maybe our generation was. Now, here's the other thing. We like to pick on them because we say they have not a solid work ethic. I'm trying to be nice about this whole thing. I really am. Okay. Now, let's be honest. My parents were the same way. My parents viewed me as somebody that didn't have the work ethic that they had. I mean, they came through the Great Depression, so they knew what suffering looked like. They lived through, well, in the case of my parents, one world war, not two of them, but they knew what suffering looked like. I didn't experience, and I experienced Vietnam on television as a small boy, but I didn't experience the chaos that a world war and a Great Depression brought to this country. So I understand about the knock on the work ethic thing, but I think that that work ethic thing, I think it's a little bit misguided, because when you really look at what some of these Generation X folks have done, and you might be one of those people, you've probably been focused more on a technological environment. Yeah, in other words, an environment where you're not necessarily picking up a wrench and turning a wrench and creating something with your hands. You're more or less creating something with your mind and a mouse click. Yeah, so that kind of work, well, that looks way different than the kind of work that I did when I was in high school. Because, you know, my way out of high school, essentially, was to go work fast food. That was the new and upcoming job. And back in the day, They weren't paying a living wage for high school fry cooks. No, they were paying me like, I think I made $3.10 an hour or something. You know, crazy money like that, right? Okay, so I think that myth is maybe a little bit overworked. I do think that Generation X people work hard. But here's another thing. The Generation X group has been impacted by a lot of immigration. Yeah, especially from Latin America. Latin Americans have filled in a lot of the gaps that were found to exist between the Generation X group and the country's decision to have additional labor. Yeah, so they allowed people to come to this country to make up for some of that situation. Now, these are Ken's thoughts. I'm not necessarily saying this is exactly what happened, but this is the way Ken feels. And the way I look at it is this. It doesn't matter how people got here. The fact that they got here, well, that tells me they got here. And whether they were born here or they weren't born here, they're of a certain age group. And then we as Americans, well, what do we like to do? Well, we like to classify everybody by age groups. So I'm not worried about the immigration thing. The only reason I bring that up is that the immigrating people to this country created solutions for this country. Think about it. All right. I got to pick on these Generation Y guys. Haven't even gotten there. Let's do it next segment.
Everyone is asking, is it still a good time to invest in real estate?
We see no indication that for the foreseeable future, and even the unforeseeable future, no indication whatsoever that real estate is suddenly not going to be the best vehicle for creating wealth and passive income for your family. And so that would say that now is the time to get in. And we very rarely talk about this because we talk about cash flow. But now we're talking a little bit about capital gains and what the future brings in that property. Because it's real. At the end of the day, you have all your cash flow, but you've got this nice capital gain when you sell. And the inflation that we see and the reasons for it are going to continue. And we're going to see great capital gains at the end of the line when we sell these properties.
Get in on the next free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so I got one more thought on the Generation X guys with regards to immigration. And this is the point that Ken brought up. And I didn't address it at the end of the last segment because there just wasn't enough time and I heard the music kicking off. But here's the thing. These people that have immigrated here for whatever reason, right, wrong, or indifferent, one of the things that they do, because they're actually included in the Generation X group, is that they tend to bring the overall valuation, as it's a terrible word, but let's just say if we were to look at the entire Generation X group and we took out the immigrants, I think the Generation X group would be flourishing more in this country. It's because we brought the immigrants in, and no fault to the immigrants, and I'm not picking on immigrants at all. I just think this, the immigrants themselves have simply had too many economic hits based on the timing of their economic and geopolitical crises that they endured during their lifetimes. I mean, there's a reason why they left where they were at. And then when they came here, you know, it's not always sunshine and roses. Just because you come to this country doesn't mean everybody's there welcome you with open arms. We know this stuff happens. So I think what happens is that you have this immigrant class that actually starts moving towards having a good economic start in life much later in life. Yeah, because, you know, when I was in high school, I was trying to get my economic start at the age of 16. Well, I know a guy that came to this country at the age of 16 that didn't speak English. As a matter of fact, he was going through like high school equivalent classes into his 20s so that he could learn English, so that he could actually start doing what he needed to do. And he didn't graduate college until the age of 27. So I graduated at the age of 22. It kind of gives you an idea right there that, you know, even though they were two different people, I got a 5-year head start than somebody that came to this country. That's all I'm trying to point out. What I really want to get into is the whole Generation Y argument, because this is where Ken just really points the lens of the spotlight. This is where the light shines on everything, because the millennials, the Generation Y people, those lazy millennials that we like to talk about, and not all millennials are lazy, I know this for a fact, but they get a bad rap. They were born between 85 and 2005. My kids are classified in this group. And to be honest with you, there's 10,000 more of them now than there are of us baby boomers. So they are the actual class of people that have the biggest population now. It was supposed to be the Generation X guys. It never happened. Skipped a generation. Now it's Generation Y guys. And here's the fact. Generation Y is the driving force behind the future of the commercial real estate industry. I firmly believe that. And Ken does too. As a matter of fact, he said this. Even though the Generation Y or the millennials were late getting started for a variety of reasons, okay, we may have coddled them a little bit, I get that, we have started to see the impact on our industry in the past couple of years. And the pace has been picking up as this generation begins to marry, have kids, and actually have more kids than the previous generations. Yeah, they're actually reproducing. Now, my kids haven't gotten there yet, but you never know. Millennials have a tendency to love the city, but they will move to the suburbs to raise their kids as they seek more space, better education for their kids, whatever they're looking for. But here's another fact. The millennials are more likely to rent both single family and multifamily units than previous generations. Let me say that again. Millennials are more likely to rent both single family and multifamily units than previous generations. So this should lead to the development and renovation of larger apartment units in the secondary and tertiary markets in all of our major marketplaces. I mean, this is really good news. Single family homes in the suburbs may be too big for the millennials, who are less attracted to consumption. That's what I'm doing. See, I'm consuming the place that I live. Millennials are kind of like, yeah, we kind of saw you do that, Dad. And, you know, we saw you get burned in 2008. I'm not sure I want to do that. As a matter of fact, this might even indicate that our current model of, say, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 2-car garage properties in the 1,500 square foot range. I mean, that's the sweet spot. That's what we look for in single family houses. Maybe that is going to remain the strongest demand of all. And nothing's going to change. As a matter of fact, it's going to get stronger. Now, millennials are more comfortable starting their own businesses and also for working for smaller firms. They don't necessarily need to be in corporate America. They tend to seek independence. They're more flexible with their work options and their life balance because at the end of the day, they've seen us, their parents, grind their lives away and still not be prepared for retirement. These millennials, man, I'll tell you, they're comfortable working and living with a group of people. They can do this. And they're more likely to travel earlier in their lives, having seen, you know, us old folks, their parents, be unable to enjoy travel due to either poor health or financial constraints later on in retirement. So here's the takeaway, and here's what Ken is telling you. Your customers, your best customers are probably at least 20 years younger than you. And I would suggest maybe it's closer to 30 or more. There's a big concern in this country that the American dream to own their individual home is being torn away from us as Americans. That's a dream that doesn't seem to be shared by the Americans that we call millennials, also known as Generation Y. They're not interested in buying a house and settling down with the white picket fence and the 2.3 kids and the 1.7 dogs and the 2.6 cars and the great. You know what I'm talking about. That was the crap that we had to listen to as we were growing up. That was the image of the future. Well, the millennials have a different image. They have a completely different image. And even if, let's just say, all of these millennials, as well as the next population, the next age group, 20-year group, age group, but let's just say that dream of the American dream of owning your own property, poof, gone, vaporized, doesn't exist. They're not into it. They don't see the value in it. It's totally fine. Because here's the thing that they could see. They can see the potential that these properties could make as investment properties. So whereas I don't care whether or not the Generation Y people buy houses to live in or rent, to be honest with you, I'd rather see them rent because that supports my business model. What I want to really see come out of these Generation Y people, these millennials, is I want them to understand what I understand about correctly investing in real estate to create these little business units that throw off passive income. And that by using that passive income, I'm able to completely transition my life away from a life that's focused on working or serving another person or entity into a life where I don't do that anymore. You see, my assets are providing me the income streams that are necessary for me to maintain the lifestyle that I've chosen to achieve. As a matter of fact, it will continue to promote my lifestyle as I move to the next level of what I'm doing. And I'm going to bring as many millennials along with me because I agree with them. Owning your house, I don't know if that's the way to go, especially if you want to be transportable. And one of the things that I learned about millennials a long time ago is they don't like being chained down. They don't want to be locked to a particular location because they want to be flexible in case the next opportunity in their life comes along. And they don't want to say, well, gee, I'd really like to take that job, but you know, I'm chained to the house and I'm chained to the kids and I'm chained to the school district. I'm chained to all this stuff. That's why millennials do what millennials do. So All this demographic information is good to know. And what it should tell you is that when you get involved with investing in real estate and you're looking for your next customer, you're looking for the next person that you're going to enter into a business relationship with to lease this beautiful property that you just breathed new life back into. And when they come to this property and they look at this property and they go, man, this place is awesome. What does it take for me to rent this? You will look them square in the eyes. First of all, realizing that they're 35 years younger than you. Also knowing that, you know what? I may have found the right people. But before I go there, we're going to do the proper screening. Hey, look, if you want to get started with doing things the way we do them, go to lifestylesunlimitedworkshops.com.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.